In Afghanistan, most of the fighting takes place in the south and the east of the country, but we have a reminder this morning that no place in Afghanistan is really safe. A suicide bomber struck in the northern part of the country in Kunduz province. About 30 people were killed when the bomber detonated his explosives at a government office as people lined up to collect identification cards. Women and children were among the casualties. We're also reporting this morning on a possible change in the law in Afghanistan that would affect women. It could have deep consequences for the country's few shelters for battered women. Those shelters, which were set up by the United Nations and by independent charities, would come under the control of the Afghan Ministry for Women's Affairs. Afghan women's advocates say the law would turn the shelters into nothing more than state prisons. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports from Kabul.
One resident of Kabul's battered women's shelters is now world famous, Bibi Aisha, whose face appeared on the cover of Time magazine. A child bride, her husband hacked off her nose and ears to punish the girl for running away. Aisha fled to a shelter run by a charity called Women for Afghan Women, and now she's getting medical treatment in the U.S. But there are many, many more stories like hers. Khatira has been living at a Women for Afghan Women shelter for several years, ever since she escaped a forced marriage at the age of 13. Her husband was mentally ill, she says, and his brothers tried to sell her as a prostitute. She resisted.
They tied my hands and feet. They shaved my head and burned me on my feet with a hot iron from the fire. They beat me on my head with a high-heeled shoe. You can still see the mark.
Neighbors helped her flee, and the shelter helped her win a divorce. Khatira's mother and father are dead, but her remaining family considered the divorce a dishonor, and they won't take her back.
During my time in the shelter, nobody has visited me. When I see family visiting other girls, it makes me cry.
Some of the girls in the shelter were raped and then forced to marry the rapist in order to avoid dishonoring their community. Some were promised as children to much older men. Some say their husbands kept them with farm animals separate from the house. All have stories of abuse and torture.
The problem is that people don't have education. If a woman or a man know that what is their rights in Islam and what is their rights according to the civil law of Afghanistan, then we will not have a violence.
Huma Safi is program director at Women for Afghan Women. She says that many of the worst behaviors toward women in Afghanistan are against Afghan law and Sharia, Islamic law. But she says these traditions are perpetuated by uneducated village leaders and mullahs. Safi says there is no Afghan or Islamic law that allows forced marriage or for women to be confined.
Run away from home is not a crime. It's not considered as a crime in our civil law.
But in most of the country, tradition trumps civil law, and the worst practices of the Taliban era remain common. And not everyone agrees with Safi's interpretation of the law. In October last year, an edict by the Afghan Supreme Court said that women who run away from home can be charged with prostitution or adultery unless they go to the police or the home of a relative. Afghan law cannot be in contradiction with Sharia, says Anayatullah Baleg, a member of Afghanistan's Council of Muslim Scholars. There is no way in the Afghan justice system to resolve a dispute between Sharia and the Constitution. In Mullah Baleg's opinion, women can only live in the company of a close male relative, her husband, father, or brother. Baleg says that also means the women's shelters are illegal and should be shut down. The shelters, he says, are creating problems and controversy. President Hamid Karzai's increasingly anti-Western rhetoric has stoked that controversy. In 2009, he set up a commission led by a religious scholar to look at the shelters. Last year, a television station sponsored by Afghanistan's vice president, Mohammed Fahim, ran what it called an expose, alleging, without any evidence, that the shelters are fronts for prostitution. And now the government has drafted a law that will put all of the shelters under the control of the Ministry of Women's Affairs. Advocates fear the worst, says Huma Safi of Women for Afghan Women.
The regulation which is going to be passed, it shouldn't be something which make a shelter a prison for women.
The draft law says that any woman trying to enter a shelter would need the approval of a committee from 8 government offices and to take a medical exam that might include a virginity test. Women would not be allowed to leave the shelter freely. All international funding for the shelters would go through the Ministry of Finance and then the Department of Women's Affairs. Safi says that already powerful government officials often interfere and try to get runaway women sent back to their communities, even though their husbands or relatives may kill them for dishonoring their families.
We are civil society. We can say no to them. No, I don't want this girl to go back. Her life is at risk. But if it is under the control of the government, will not say no.
Last week, the Minister for Women's Affairs addressed the issue. Taking over the shelters means more support for women who run away due to family problems, said Hussein Ghazanfar at a news conference. But she also accused the UN and existing women's shelters of waste and corruption, claiming that millions of dollars were unaccounted for. A network of women's groups said the charges were baseless and the numbers invented. A UN spokesman warned that donors will be unlikely to support government-run shelters. What he didn't have to say is that rampant corruption in the Afghan government might keep donors from giving. The attitude of the Karzai administration toward women's rights already had international observers concerned, says Rachel Reed of Human Rights Watch.
You have to see this as a government where you've got a parliament, a cabinet, various ministries that are effectively controlled by conservative factions that think very much like the Taliban when it comes to things like women's rights. So in a way, we shouldn't be surprised that it's moving in this way, particularly at a time when President Karzai wants to present himself as a man that the Taliban can do business with.
Last week, the U.S. State Department expressed concern about the changes in the law on women's shelters, and over the weekend, President Karzai himself responded at a news conference.
This government is particularly aware in terms of the suffering of women and also in terms of the emotional impact that it has had on us as a society, so we will be very diligent about it.
The president said shelters that follow the rules will continue to be supported, but he made no comment about how those rules are changing. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Kabul.